Welcome to It's About Florida, a weekly discussion program tackling the key issues and topics of interest to our state. I'm Tramell Gomes. Florida is at the top when it comes to public corruption. A new government watchdog group, Integrity Florida, gives the state this dubious distinction by identifying nearly 800 federal corruption convictions in Florida from 2000 to 2010. That's an average of 71 convictions each year. The group also gives the state a low grade when it comes to ethics enforcement. Overall, the group calls it a corruption crisis that threatens the state's reputation and economy. To discuss these findings, we have Dan Krasner, the executive director of Integrity Florida, and one of the authors of the study Corruption Risk Report, Florida Ethics Laws. Joining Krasner is L.T. Lafferty. He's head of the White Collar Crimes Division at the law firm Fowler, White & Boggs. Welcome to It's About Florida. Now, this report on public corruption places Florida as the worst state for the numbers of public officials and employees accused and charged of breaking the law. Now, what is this all about, Mr. Krasner? Tell me about you, what you do, and your new organization.
Well, Tramell, thank you for having us on WFSU. Integrity Florida is a nonpartisan, nonprofit research institute. Our mission is to promote integrity in government and expose public corruption. We started researching the issue of corruption, and we found in our new report that Florida leads the country in federal public corruption convictions between the year 2000 and 2010. This is a big problem. This is a jobs killer for Florida. We're paying a corruption tax that's increasing the cost of doing business and living here. So our report laid out recommended solutions for the Florida Commission on Ethics to consider, as they said on June 15th, their legislative agenda for 2013.
And agreeing with you is Mr. L.T. Lafferty. Could you please chime in? Tell me about yourself and what do you make of this report?
There's a corruption crisis in the state of Florida, but it's not only a corruption crisis. It's an ethical leadership crucible. This is not a new problem. Florida has a long-standing history of ethical problems dating back to the early 1960s, and they've also got a long-standing history of the failure of ethical reform. So Dan's doing an outstanding job of trying to bring this to the public's attention so that we can demand some ethical reform in the state of Florida.
So let's get deeper into this report. What were the findings?
Well, in addition to assessing the problem and seeing that Florida is a national leader in public corruption, we realized that our Florida Commission on Ethics does not have the authority to initiate investigations that 30 other states have. And this is something that LT's been a champion for a number of years when he was on the Ethics Commission. But it's time that we put the ethics law enforcement officers on the beat in Florida. Right now, the way ethics law enforcement works, if we talk and we detail a clear and convincing state ethics law violation on the show here today, the Florida Commission on Ethics is powerless to begin an investigation. They would have to wait for a written complaint from one of your listeners or someone out there to get an investigation started. We think that the moment the Florida Commission on Ethics and their staff learns of a potential ethics law violation, an investigation should begin. And you can have the bipartisan Florida Commission on Ethics have oversight to ensure that there are no witch hunts. The Florida Commission on Ethics is a 9-member commission, and 5 are appointed by the governor, 2 by the Senate president, 2 by the House speaker, and it's bipartisan by statute. So it's a good safeguard. This is an entity that has operated at a high level of integrity since it was formed in 1974, so we can trust them to begin to enforce the ethics laws on the books.
Mr. Lafferty, who appointed you? And tell me about your role on the Ethics Commission. Like, how much power did you have to stop this problem?
Well, I was appointed to the Florida Commission on Ethics in 2006 by former Senate President Tom Lee, and I served 2 years on the Ethics Commission. The Ethics Commission is a wonderful organization, but it is also toothless, if you will. It's a great organization and with a great staff to investigate those complaints that are filed by the citizens. But as Dan said, they don't have the power to initiate their own complaints. As a former federal prosecutor, if we witnessed criminal violations, law enforcement could initiate those investigations, or the federal prosecutors themselves could initiate those investigations. As a lawyer, the Florida Bar can initiate its own investigation of the violation of the rules of professional conduct for lawyers. But in terms of regulating state and local public officers, the administrative authority to enforce the Florida Code of Ethics, they do not have the power to initiate their own investigations, so they have to stand by on the sidelines while ethical conduct goes unaddressed. The reality is we need greater vigilance of the Florida Code of Ethics. We need greater vigilance, greater enforcement, and until the legislature sees the value of that greater vigilance, we are going to be in this dilemma with this leadership crucible.
Could you give me an example of one of those things that you called out but you really couldn't do anything about?
You open up the newspaper, unless a public citizen, say, files a complaint against any state or local public official, the Ethics Commission would not be able to review that conduct and impose any of the administrative or civil sanctions authorized by the Code of Ethics. Until a public citizen actually files that complaint, the Commission on Ethics is powerless.
And Tramiel, that's where the problem lies today. We have about 40,000 public officials that file their personal financial disclosure information to the Florida Commission on Ethics each year. And the ethics complaints have dropped. We're down to, we only had 169 total complaints last year. And I think, ask any Floridian, do you think there are more than 169 potential ethical questions about our public officials? And I'm sure they would tell you, no way, there must be more. But right now, if you want to file a complaint, it has to be legally sufficient. You might have to pay the legal fees if you get something wrong. So what we need to do is, in addition to giving the Ethics Commission the authority to investigate, we need a report corruption hotline, potentially housed at the Commission on Ethics or the Florida Attorney General's office. The FBI has a very effective hotline, and it's helping the FBI and federal law enforcement officers crack down on corruption in Florida. That's probably another reason why we're leading the country is because we have a very effective law enforcement operation at the federal level. We need that same level of effectiveness at the state level and a report corruption hotline to get the tips in and then the authority for the Ethics Commission to investigate immediately. That combination would dramatically reduce corruption in Florida.
Out of the entire country, Florida is number one as the most corrupt. How did we get to number one on this list?
We started in investigating and researching the issue of corruption in Florida, and a few things stood out. One, Forbes magazine earlier this year put out a list of America's most miserable cities. And at the top of the list was Miami, number one. And they cited corruption. And two other Florida cities, Fort Lauderdale and West Palm Beach, rounded out the top 10. No other state, I mean, Michigan was the only other state with three cities in the top 10, but Florida overall had a higher ranking on that report. We also saw in earlier this year, in March, an entity called stateintegrity.org, which is a separate entity than Integrity Florida. They gave our ethics enforcement agencies a failing grade, and we wanted to figure out why is that. And the big one that stood out was 30 other states can begin an investigation, Florida cannot. That just seems like a no-brainer for our legislature and our governor to get behind this year in a bipartisan way. Let's begin these investigations, let's have a report corruption hotline, and let's put more information online for the public to follow the money.
Some examples of corruptions that you found in your report. Give us some. What were you finding? What is corrupt in your opinion?
Well, you have in Florida both illegal corruption and legalized corruption. The illegal corruption is what the U.S. Department of Justice measures. These are federal public corruption convictions by U.S. attorneys. Oftentimes, the FBI has done the investigation. Recently in Hillsborough County, where LT's from, you had the case of Hillsborough County Commissioner Kevin White. That data will show up when the 2012 data comes out. But Commissioner White, and LT can probably give us a little detail on that case, is some the type of case that falls within this data set. LT, do you want to?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I broadly define corruption as any misuse of public office for personal gain. Corruption can be very broad. It can be very specific in the different types of corruption, but from a very general sense, any misuse of your public office or the benefits of that public office for your personal gain could be considered corruption. And what's interesting is that a lot of these cases result in criminal charges and criminal convictions, but the vast majority of them are never charged. They're never investigated. They're never charged. It's very important for everybody to remember that at the heart of every corruption case is an ethics violation that went unchecked over years and was allowed to escalate into criminal conduct.
Now, Mr. Krasner, you mentioned Kevin White. Now, what did he do in his case?
Let me let LT answer that because he lives here in in Hillsborough County.
The Kevin White case was a pure bribery case. He was paid. It was pay to play. It was a typical bribery pay to play case in which he was paid for the benefits or for his votes on the Transit Commission or the Transit Authority Board to approve a towing application license.
All right. So
it was a pure bribery case.
What are some of the most common types of corruption arrests made?
Yeah, I'd say it's bribery.
Extortion is up there.
Yeah, bribery is the typical kind, extortion. In the federal system, the dishonest services statute is the most commonly used federal corruption statute, and it's the misuse of your public office for any benefit, whether you've received a bribe, a kickback, or some other type of financial remuneration or gain. But it's dishonest services where the citizens have the right to honest services from their elected officials. And any time the elected official violates that constitutional right, if you will, to the citizens, it's the corrupt practices.
Now, Mr. Krasner, you mentioned legal corruption. What do you mean by legal corruption?
Well, I'd say legal corruption is the gateway drug to these federal public corruption convictions. It's what we have in Tallahassee, where you can be a legislator and be on the payroll of a lobbying firm at the same time. If you have a voting conflict, if you go to Tallahassee as a legislator and vote on something where only you and your family or your business benefits, you only have to declare that conflict 15 days after the vote. At the local level, that's not how they do it. They declare conflicts before the vote. Oftentimes, they recuse themselves from voting conflicts. So the legalized corruption is where the decisions are being made based on who gave the most amount of campaign money. The agenda is being set by, say, the private prison companies making that issue come out of nowhere to be a dominant issue of last legislative session, or the insurance companies around PIP insurance. So money is driving the agenda. Money is driving the votes. We saw in this last legislative session $60 million spent on lobbying, about $1 million a day for the 60-day session. So there's so much money in the process. And the reason we're focused on these issues is these are the root cause issues in our society today. Corrupting influence of money in politics is the defining issue of our time. We can't solve any problem in Florida until we get the money out of the room.
We often see, I think it's almost like every year, we see like an ethics reform bill that comes forward. I think most recent was Senator Paula Dockery's, but it didn't go anywhere. And which is the same for most of the others that came before them. So what do you think about seeing this process, Mr. Krasner?
Well, the Senator Dockery bill was a good one. What she's trying to do is get rid of those voting conflicts. It may have been hitting the legislators' pocketbooks too hard, so maybe we need to start with disclosure. We'd like to see a conflict of interest, a voting conflict database online, because there's so many conflicts. We'd like to see the financial disclosure information that's already public record by our officials posted online for the public to search, just like we can search campaign finance to see who gave the campaign money. You ought to be able to see who gave the paycheck to your legislator. What companies do they own stock in? And what land do they own? Because there's a lot of insider trading going on. That's one of the legalized corruption practices in our legislature and in our Congress in Washington, where if you're setting the budget and you know where the road's going to be built and you can buy up the land and flip it, or you're going to help one company with a piece of legislation and you can buy their stock, then sell it after you've increased the value, that's wrong, but it's legal today, and I'd say it's legalized corruption.
You're listening to It's About Florida. I'm Tramell Gomes, chatting with Dan Krasner, the Executive Director of Integrity Florida, which released a report placing Florida at the top in the nation for public corruption. Krasner is joined by L.T. Lafferty, a former member of the Florida Ethics Commission and former federal prosecutor.
All right, and as we know, complaints do not always lead to charges. In the case of Senator Jim Norman, a gift of $500,000 to his wife from a Tampa businessman. Is that one of the many things listed in your report?
That is the type of case where if we had the Ethics Commission with the authority to investigate, they could have started on that right away. Because they're the first line of defense. They see the financial disclosure forms each year. And if they see an asset that's missing, or they read about, if they read about that house in Arkansas that Senator Norman's, a big campaign donor of his gave money, about $500,000 to his wife to purchase this house in Arkansas, If they read about that in the newspaper, they could have started the investigation right away without having to wait for a complaint to be filed. The federal authorities looked into the matter as well, and they were able to do so without waiting. That's the kind of thing. You saw something similar with Senator Haradopoulos when he had the book deal with Brevard Community College and other undisclosed financial assets and income sources, or the case of former Speaker Ray Sansom, who received a six-figure paycheck from a state entity that he helped fund through the legislature the day he became House Speaker. And when these things come to light, our Florida Commission on Ethics needs to be able to start an investigation, and it's mainly for these high-profile big cases that are just clear ethics law violations that need a state ethics law enforcement officer to begin an investigation immediately.
Does it come down to the level of, like, just a conflict of interest, being able to recuse if you're a public official from a vote if you have a stake in the interest of whatever you're voting on?
Well, let's start with disclosure. Corruption does not like sunlight, and disclosure is the key to accountability. If we would just have our policymakers at all levels of government disclose their financial interests as they're doing already, but put it online, because in this day and age, if it's not online, it doesn't exist. Already, we have 40,000 public officials in Florida telling us their assets, liabilities, and income sources, properties they own, stocks they have. That information is there, but it's buried. You can't find it. You'd have to do a public records request and know where it exists. So we'd like to see that online. That way we can connect the dots as citizens and hold our officials accountable. We think this transactions of $1,000 or more throughout the year, if somebody's selling property or selling stocks, that ought to be disclosed as well. Let's add that to the form. We also should expand our ethics code to follow the money. State government has about a $70 billion budget, and almost $51 billion, CFO Jeff Atwater reported recently, goes to vendors for products and services. But when they're spending our money, the ethics code doesn't follow them. And if they're running our schools, running our prisons, serving in roles like a city attorney, it's time to have the ethics code follow the money. That, combined with a report corruption hotline and starting investigations, we've got that's a series of five good reforms our Florida legislature and governor could get passed in the 2013 legislative session.
And Mr. Lafferty, do you agree?
I absolutely agree, and I'd add two additional reforms to it. One, I'd impose a greater financial penalty. The current maximum penalty is $10,000. There's been longstanding recommendations from the Commission on Ethics and requests to raise that penalty to $100,000, and I believe the statewide grand jury report also recommended raising that to $100,000. For example, in Senator Norman's case, if he's alleged to have received the benefit of a $500,000 loan to his wife or a gift to his wife to purchase a home in Arkansas, he's agreed to settle those charges by the Commission on Ethics, but the maximum penalty that can be imposed is $10,000, which seems inequitable in light of the financial benefit that his family received. And that case was unique in some respect because the dishonest services statute was gutted by the Supreme Court in 2010, and that was the basis for the U.S. Attorney's Office declining criminal charges in that case. And another recommendation could be to assess the costs of investigation against any state or local public official who agrees to settle those charges. So in attorney general's cases, when they're conducting criminal or civil investigations, they routinely assess the costs of investigations against the subjects of those investigations as part of their settlement process. So if we're worried about the administrative cost of increasing the authority and jurisdiction of the Florida Commission on Ethics, we can easily address that by assessing the costs of the investigations against those state and local public officials that are found to have violated Florida's Code of Ethics.
Florida is known about our sunshine laws and being out in the open. Have we seen a backtrack on our sunshine? How much we let out in the sunshine, Mr. Krasner?
Oh, we have, and this is really an unfortunate thing. That state integrity investigation report gave Florida a D+ for public access to information. We're known around the world for our sunshine, for our beaches. We're number one, but it's time we institute, put in place some reforms to become number one for public access to information again. This is the Sunshine State. We need to become the most open, ethical, and accountable government in the world. Unfortunately, Barbara Peterson at the First Amendment Foundation in Tallahassee told us that the Florida legislature has put in place more than 1,000 exemptions to public records laws in Florida. You know, and government information should be public information. We have a right to it. So this is not only do we have a corruption crisis, but our brand of being an open government state is on shaky ground with this amount of exemptions. We need to begin to move in the other direction and have more open government, more transparent government, let citizens follow their money. I mean, what excuse do we have to make state government level records exempt from the sunshine?
What sort of things were exempted?
Well, one of the ones that concerns us the most and at Integrity Florida, our first research report focused on it. It was called Corruption Risk Report Enterprise Florida. And Enterprise Florida has been one of the most secretive agencies of state government since it was created in 1996. They've spent nearly $2 billion since they were started in the name of economic development, incentives to companies to create jobs. But they won't open the books and tell us how much they spent, who got it, and how many jobs were created, and if not, why? So they have been poor to have not responded well to our public records request. They actually just told us they hired a law firm to assess our questions about records we'd like to see them share that should be public record. But they have a number of exemptions. They can go up to 2 years after they give our money away to a company before they tell us how much they gave away and who received it. I mean, that's just inexcusable. It's our money. It's the public's money. I mean, any penny of government money spent at the state and local government level should be shared. That information should be shared with the taxpayer immediately.
So what do you put forth as solutions?
Disclosure, disclosure, disclosure. And Governor Scott has moved in some good directions on open government with his website, Florida Has a Right to Know, with Project Sunburst. I mean, these are small steps but important steps towards more disclosure. He's clearly a governor that wants to see all this, share with taxpayers where their money's going, let them see who's getting it, and hold officials accountable. We just need to extend that to Enterprise Florida. We need to extend that.
But the governor did back the exemption on the economic development. So where do you stand there? Is it like you like some of what he's doing, but not all?
They're moving in the direction. They're trying to get the default on an economic development project to be 180 days from the signing of the deal that they disclose the information. The challenge is the company now can still request exemptions from telling us about the deal. So we'd like to see that pulled back to 48-hour disclosure after a contract is signed and tell us where our money went. And we think the governor and legislature could get behind that.
The Florida Commission on Ethics is coming out with their own recommendations and suggestions this week regarding ethics reform. Mr. Lafferty, what do you make of that process that they're going through since you've been on the board and know the ropes?
Well, it's an annual process. Every year, the Florida Commission on Ethics reports back to the legislature its statistics for the year and proposes a legislative agenda that is very deep in ethical reform measures. And not surprisingly, each one of those ethical reform measures has failed disastrously over the last several years. As a matter of fact, I mean, since the ethics reform measures that were enacted in the 1970s, ethics reform has been a disaster here in the state of Florida. None of these provisions or recommendations are ever enacted. As a matter of fact, we're actually going backwards with the example of the leadership funds that were reinstituted a couple years ago. So I'm looking forward to a proposed legislative agenda that has a lot of the recommendations that Dan and I have talked about here today, and I don't think it would be surprising to see most of those are included in their proposals.
And Jermell, here's what gives us hope that ethics reform is finally going to happen. You have a governor in Governor Scott that promised ethics reform when he ran for office, and he only has two legislative sessions left to deliver on that promise. Now, he put in place an ethics reform executive order on his first day in office, and he's demonstrated his clear commitment to the issue. But now's the time to act. Now's the time for the governor and legislature to get this package of reforms through. You also have the Tea Party coming out in a big way as a top priority. The Tea Party network of 70 groups around the state have made ethics reform a top priority. The League of Women Voters has done the same. We have representatives from both of those groups on our board of directors because we believe corruption does not wear a party label. Ethics reform is something that we all want. We have, for the first time, candidates for office being asked around the state as the campaign season begins about this corruption problem, about what are they going to do for ethics reform. Newspapers are asking it. Groups that endorse candidates are asking it. We're having a statewide conversation because there is a statewide crisis. We can no longer stand for being known as the number one state for corruption in this country.
I am concerned after hearing Mr. Lafferty and hearing the amount of years he said that they do this on routine. They come up, they make suggestions, they pass it on, and nothing really gets done. What's the probability that there will be ethics reform this time around?
Well, it's not just the Ethics Commission that makes the recommendations, too. In 2010, a statewide grand jury was impaneled to study corruption in the state of Florida. It found that corruption permeates every level of state and local government in the state of Florida, and it made significant recommendations for ethics reform and corruption enforcement measures. And not a single one of them has been enacted by the Florida legislature. Every year, some key legislators propose some of these ethics reform measures, and they all fail miserably. But I agree with Dan. I think the time is ripe. In the mid-1970s, when the legislature failed to pass the Sunshine Amendment, Governor Askew took it straight to the citizens. And it was the citizens who passed the Sunshine Amendment. Governor Askew said that you can't legislate morality, but you can legislate a moral environment. So it has to start with the citizens. They need to step up and demand. The quality of our expectations determines the quality of our actions. And then if we can legislate that moral environment, we can achieve the longstanding success that Dan is talking about for our state. We can't be a successful state in the long term if our elected officials are serving themselves rather than the public's interests.
As we wrap up here, any last thoughts that you'd like listeners to know what they can do? And is the corruption issue largest on the local or state level?
Just because of the sheer number of local officials, that it seems to be a bigger problem at the local government level. One thing your listeners can do, if you know about corruption or you're concerned about it in your community, call the FBI Report Corruption Hotline and report what you know. That number is 888-722-1225. Another thing you can do is this show, I'm sure, will be on WFSU.org. Send a link to the podcast of this show to your local officials. Tell them you heard it and you're concerned about these issues. You'd like to know where they stand on it. Get them on record and then go to integrityflorida.org and let us know what you found out. You know, go on our Facebook page or Twitter and let's get everybody on the record this campaign season. Let's find out if our folks running for office think corruption's a problem. Forbes magazine thinks it's a problem in Florida. Plenty of other sources are pointing to it, but we need to get our officials on record, and you all can help us do that as listeners. But send that information to us. You know, go online to integrityflorida.org and pull our research reports there and forward them on to officials and candidates and get their reaction to it and let us know what you hear.
Mr. Lafferty, any final thoughts?
The most important thing, I think, is for the citizens to avoid apathy. Vote for ethical leaders. And if your current politicians or local elected officials are not ethical leaders, vote them out of office and vote in ethical leaders and demand ethics reform.
Well, thank you both for taking this time to speak with me here on It's About Florida. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Tramiel.
Special thanks to Dan Krasner with Integrity Florida and L.T. Lafferty with Fowler White & Boggs Law Firm. You've been listening to It's About Florida, a production of WFSU-FM. Our producer is Lynn Hatter with technical assistance provided by Taylor Cox. Please join us again next week for more discussions about the issues impacting our state. I'm Tramiel Gomes.